Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty, a daily podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. Diving into some more wide receivers here. Jalen Waddle out of Alabama. Going to actually do two Alabama guys here, Jalen Waddle, Devonta Smith. So Jalen Waddle has got a really interesting and unique profile in the sense that he never broke out in college. So I think initially that's where you have to start. Now you can make the adjustment of, listen, he was playing behind multiple first-round wide receivers in the form of Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, probably Devonta Smith, if I had to guess. I mean, that's what is projected by grinding the mocks, and that's what you see in most mock drafts, that he's going to be a top 15 pick. And so you basically have all of that. They have a couple other guys there that are younger and haven't come out yet. Menchie is a name of note there. So that's an initial sort of concern that you have, is that he never broke out. You can take the argument that, listen, it's really tough to sort of break out, and when you are in that type of atmosphere. But the problem is it's only 20%, right? That's all I'm looking for is 20%. I mean, yeah, we want 30%, we want 50%, but at only 20%, that's not a huge amount of market share to get as one of the top wide receivers. So that's really a concern there for me, ultimately, and I think that's kind of where his profile needs to start. And you need to really, the prior on that's not good, right? It's an offer for the first round guys that have not broken out. So that is a pretty troubling trend. So I do think he's an interesting player. We don't have combine stuff for him, obviously. We didn't have pro day stuff for him either. So he's widely, when you see a lot of these superlatives, he's consistently getting the, we'll call it the most explosive treatment, right? That's kind of the treatment that he is getting in terms of, when they give out like the who's the best at what in the class, right? He's the one that constantly gets like most explosive, biggest big play threat, that sort of moniker. It's a really incomplete profile. I think you really need to be careful. PFF likes him. Arguably, I'll just read a couple quotes here. Arguably the most explosive all around athlete at the receiver position in the class. Pops off the line of scrimmage at full speed in a hurry. Hadn't had many contested situations, but looked very good at the catch point. Wiggle in the hips, going to be a nightmare to get clean and press. Only 971 career snaps, 5'10", 182, not great. Has a broken ankle. Played a lot of his stuff in the slot and a lot of the manufactured touch type stuff, ran the end around, a lot of that sort of gadgety stuff. Didn't do a ton of screen stuff, but it's a lot of some of it's manufactured, a lot of slot stuff. So it's just something you need to be careful about, especially when you don't have a huge resume. He didn't even qualify, for example, the minimum threshold for targets to rank in PFF. So when you sort of look at that, it's a little concerning. His PFF grade 84.7. So again, good, not great. That's really the big thing. I mean, I watched some of his. I saw a couple drops. I do think he's. I saw some bobbles there, which gave me a little bit of concern in terms of even when he made catches. He's a dynamic down the field. On the double move, is pretty ruthless there. And that's I think his big calling card is you sort of get him out on a double move. Yeah, he can go for 80 real quick. Multiple drops that I saw. I think he moves well, obviously. He is an engaged blocker. And he's explosive. There's no doubt about that. And you see that, but I think he might be quicker to quicker to speed. Like I did see him get run down. So that's something that I might have a little quibble with that he's the fastest guy. It was in sort of one of those, maybe he wasn't necessarily up to full speed because he sort of had come out of a stumble, but I you know, that was something I noted as well. 34th percentile in terms of yards per team passing attempt. That's not good. Yards per route run, 3.57 on his career. So that's a pretty good number. No breakout. 3/4 of his snaps were in the slot. So you sort of know what you're getting kind of in that range. You know, that's a lot of the concern with me. I think ultimately, you know, where he goes is going to be a big, it's going to be a big question. And, you know, look, watching where he goes in drafts, I mean, if he's going to be wide receiver 2 or 3 in drafts, I have a hard time. I have a hard time, you know, going down that road. But if he's going to be, like, if this is going to be a situation where, you know, we get lots of day one guys, and then ultimately a guy like Waddle falls and is somehow in like the mid second round, you know, I'm not sure what that scenario looks like, is my concern. I'm just trying to figure out a way to sort of get you how he's going to be a target guy for us. It's going to be tough. I mean, right now, DLF has him wide receiver 4 in their ADP, firmly in the mid first in start 1. So when you sort of look at that, like, that's a little concerning. I'm doing some work that'll be up on the site just to give you an idea. The implied hit rate of that, of like a wide receiver 4 scenario, is it's expecting a lot of hit. So that's about a 48% hit rate. And so when you look at the base rate on it, it's like 0. Again, the sample's small, but the sample's small of guys that haven't broken out going in the top 2 days of the draft. So that's kind of why. So that's the thing there. I'll be interested to watch and see where he goes. If this is a scenario where, you know, let's just paint a picture. I guess I'm trying to give you actionable advice, and I'll have more actionable advice as we get the draft data. So I'll sort of be along that process for you, but I'm just trying to figure out how we could sort of get to a place where he's really, really a target. You know, maybe Tylan Wallace goes up ahead of him. Kadarius Toney sort of gets in like day one, for example. You know, I don't know, Elijah Moore sort of gets in that range, like it's a good landing spot. And then all of a sudden Waddle's like, you know, wide receiver 7, 8, 9, something like that. I mean, that would kind of be the scenario in which it would take. I'm not sure I necessarily buy all that happening. So as he stands right now, it's going to be a clear avoid play. You know, if this will be a scenario, it'll be interesting if we get, you know, 6, 7, 8 first round wide receivers. That I think would there's a potential there that if he's on the back end of that, you just collect the pedigree, kind of hold your nose and go for it. I am not one to make a ton of exceptions in rookie drafts, and he's going to be one of those ones, like, I'll probably never be able to get over the fact that he broke out. I will say maybe he's got flash potential, so that could be a different aspect, right? That could be one where, you know, you see him pull out kind of like a Chase Claypool type breakout where he, you know, does some explosive things, really kind of gets on the radar that way. And you can flip them. You don't have to take the long-term bet on a profile that's historically non-existent. I don't really like playing that game because it becomes if that doesn't happen, it becomes an illiquid nightmare. So that would just sort of be the, you know, I think a place where you could potentially pivot. Looking at Devonta Smith, on the other hand, you know, he's a later breakout. So I can feel a little bit different with that. And I did put up on the website, the like a tracker, essentially matrix there that kind of shows you what we can expect if guys hit in terms of base rates. So I've incorporated the base rate of essentially how they the bucket of which their first 20% breakout was. And is that the most perfect thing in the world? No, but it's pretty linear in terms of how it actually works. So it's actually kind of nice to sort of have it on a, you know, have it on a grid and sort of looking at it. I think it's very helpful. So if you go, it's rookie drafts, wide receiver breakout, age pedigree matrix is it. So I got to work on the branding of that a little bit. But yeah, you can find it on the site. I posted earlier this week, so it's on the site and available for you, and in a similar form as some of the other matrix. So you can sort of look at that and track, you know, if these guys sort of get to, you know, if these guys sort of get to their pedigree, sort of what we can expect. And for him, I mean, I like Devonta Smith is a 21-year-old breakout. So his odds of a hit in round one, if he were to go round one, 31.03%. His 30% breakout percentile is 23%. So again, that's a pretty low breakout. It's a late breakout altogether. So he broke out at 21 years old, then had the big season. He broke out at 20 years old for a 20% breakout, 21 years old for a 30% breakout. And the age of his 30% breakout is a 23rd percentile. That's sort of how that works. So again, that's a situation where if it's going to be wide receiver 2-3 in the class, it's probably an avoid. If it's going to be wide receiver 6-7 in the class, we could sort of be a little bit more interested in it. So that's kind of where I lie with both of these guys. Like at cost, if it's going to be a mid first, I'm just not going to do that. I'm going to figure out whatever way it is. I think this is a good example of why this class is so much of a, a punt the class type of scenario. You know, bail out of it. Take the cheapest shot on, the falling pedigree. Right? Can we identify the Brandon Ayuk of this class? That type of scenario, and collect assets while we're doing it. Right? That's kind of going to be the play. That should largely always be the play, I think. Well, the other thing too is I've been looking at some stuff that I'll have a little bit more fresh content for us in regards to this. But when you sort of look at some of the wide receiver, stuff for like round one, for example, it's very uncorrelated in terms of, first 3 years of warp, for example. The order of which you go in the first round of the NFL draft has virtually no relationship to what your warp is. So I think when you think about that, kind of being willing to fade some of that stuff is pretty compelling. Similarly, when you sort of look at it for wide receivers, when you compare them to the order in which they go in rookie drafts, and I'm using a different metric now that's just looking at non-quarterback stuff. So you're getting essentially non-quarterback, where you rank it sort of non-quarterback, so we have a one-for-one comparison. We're not just using ADP, but we're just saying, all right, if you're the fifth skill player off the board and you're a receiver, sort of what does that do for you? There's very little relationship there either between first 3 years of warp and that ordering. So I do think when we can identify these arbitrage opportunities and clearly move off of good profiles that have a little bit of question onto someone a little bit later, that's why I've mentioned this in the GroupMe chat. I don't mind necessarily a guy like Kadarius Toney if we're going to do that like at wide receiver 9. And he's going to be the if he's somehow manages to sneak into the first round of the draft, like that's not horrible. Because again, you're just kind of taking that cheaper bet. Hopefully you can move off of the earlier not great bet and go from there. So that's really the thing with it that I'm aiming for this year is trying to figure out a way out of these profiles into something that's maybe not necessarily a better profile. Maybe it is, but that is cheaper and multiple, right? So if it's two shots, if that's a shot next year, right? That's sort of what I'm looking to do. So Devonta Smith, I think he's a really natural, explosive athlete. What I would note is he's very, very thin. And you see that show up, right? He has good movement skills. He's very natural catching the ball. He's fluid, all of those things. Like, it's all really good. He just plucks the ball. It's really cool. I mean, it's a show to watch. There's no doubt about that. When you watch him sort of run after the catch, if you get a hand on his legs, like, he's going down. And again, he sort of makes his money by making people miss and sort of avoiding that situation. But it's kind of alarming when you see him, when you see someone get a hand on him and just sort of, rip him down. Doesn't really have many comps in terms of PFF, for example. They don't even list a comp for him in the draft guide. PFF likes the ball skills, the fluidity, all that stuff. And obviously the fact that he didn't weigh in, right? He's like, oh no, believe me. Like, it's fine. Like, I'm big. Yeah. Okay. Like, if you were, right, refusing to weigh in, if that's true, we can be a little, I'm a little skeptical of that just because I don't, if you were actually going to weigh in at something that was good or acceptable, you would have done it. And that's really the thing with Devonta Smith. Like I understand the value of this. The problem is I just don't know how that's, you know, he's drawing these Marvin Harrison type comparisons. Emmanuel Sanders is another one that Matt Waldman uses for him, which I think is interesting. I just, outside of it being a Hall of Fame quarterback, those situations have not, you know, those situations are a little tough, right? With this sort of, you're basically asking for the unicorn type situation, which is a very rare profile, going to a Hall of Fame quarterback, right? That's basically the Marvin Harrison, Emmanuel Sanders spectrum. Another comp that he uses, that Matt uses, is John Brown, who, again, like, I love the player, but we have sort of seen some of the problems with him, which is, you know, it hasn't been health, and that's not necessarily something I'm going to put on Devonta Smith, but it hasn't really been, it was for 1 year, he was a wide receiver one. And, you know, and what did they do? They addressed the position with an alpha, right? I mean, I love John Brown, don't get me wrong. I he's one of my favorite players in the NFL, but I mean, that's kind of, you know, if we're looking at those pictures, right, that's the question that I would have. And Emmanuel Sanders never been a one. So, again, if you're sort of looking at that comp spectrum and say, all right, like, there's some good comps there, when we sort of contextualize it, like, unless it's perfect, right, how many Hall of Fame quarterbacks has Emmanuel Sanders played with? At least three. You know, he's played with Ben, he's played with Peyton Manning, and he's played with Breeze. You know, so like that's a pretty good skill. And heck, now he's going to go play with Josh Allen. So maybe he'll be a fourth. I kid. But that's the concern that I have with Smith. Is it's just like if that's the spectrum we want to put him on, like that's a pretty narrow band of success. Again, the movement skills, it's really impressive. I just wonder sort of where that volume is. He's going to beat people with his feet. He's going to beat people with his quickness, release, all of those things. Again, if this is wide receiver 6 in the class, wide receiver 7 in the class in terms of ADP, like I could sort of entertain that idea. I just am not sure that is actually going to happen, and I don't really want to pay for this questionable sort of late breakout profile. A third of the stuff in the slot, 80th percentile in terms of yards per team passing attempt. So, you know, just go back to the analytics of Dynasty in 2021, and, you know, we know that stat's important. That's one of the ones that Peter really identified as being good. Again, I want to take like the most elite bets we can possibly make. And he just sort of, I just have questions about it. I can see a route to success, but I look in that where he's going to go in the draft, and I'm just skeptical of how he's going to land that Hall of Fame quarterback. So that's really the ultimate concern with him is what's the upside, right? Is there a 140 target upside? And if there's not, you know, what ultimately does he fall into? So that's really my ultimate question. So I find the player, I guess to long story short, I find the player interesting. I find the profile concerning, and it's probably not one I'm going to pay in the top five of the class in. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode covering two Alabama wide receivers, Jalen Waddle and Devonta Smith. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We will talk again very soon.